Now broadcasting the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show, positioning your business with strategies for an extraordinary future. Dr. Nilda features expert guests from diverse backgrounds to bring you their stories and strategies that have helped them reach their success. The diversity in industries gives you that panoramic view from an array of industries. They are innovators, thought leaders, trendsetters, and strategists. Here, Dr. Nilda reveals strategies that will position you to be on the cutting edge and be able to do what you love with the people you like, making the profits you want to live the lifestyle that you have dreamed of. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nilda Perez.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show. And today I have, I promised you that this month I was going to have the very best futurist. And so today I have Aletia Otero Banea. She is from Mexico. She is the director of the World Future Society, the Mexican chapter. She is the founder and the pioneer of El Teatro Devenir, which is the futures business, the futures theater. And she's a psychoperspective. It's a methodology of futures learning. It's a methodology for adults to be able to learn how to be able to apply scenarios to their future study. She's been awarded the Work Future Study Celebration. She was awarded this in 2016, and this is an outstanding, it's a president outstanding young for young women and young futurists. And she's won that award. I have to get on the ball, right? I need to get that. She is a futurist who has focused on teaching scenario futures to help students conceptualize studies. So welcome. I'm so excited to have you here, Aletia. This has been a very exciting, a very exciting thing for me, and to have you come all the way from Mexico, super exciting. So we're going to do a lot of bilingual here, just so you guys know. We're going to be going back and forth, but you'll catch on, I promise. Dime, first of all, welcome to the United States. Welcome to my show. And tell me, how did you even start thinking about future studies?
Okay. So first of all, thank you for this invitation. I'm very honored. Hello to the audience and greetings from Mexico, as you say.
Woo! Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So how did I get to future studies? Well, first of all, there was something personal that I was using a lot. Imagination and thinking like naturally about the future.
Okay.
Actually, I have problems to be in the present. I'm always in the past or in the future, but barely in the present.
Okay.
So when I knew about this social science or this discipline, I said, oh my God, I need to study that. So yes. I started to get into this until now.
Okay. That's fabulous. Us futurists, I learned about 2 weeks ago that there are only about 300 futurists in the world. Wow. So that's why I needed you from Mexico, because there aren't that many. But the beauty is that those of us that are futurists, those of us that have studied futures and have studied foresight strategies, are very fascinated. And like you said, we're very much in the future. And I think I have found that we see the world with different glasses, we see things that other people don't see. And that's because we've dedicated so much time to understanding trends and understanding, the process of futuring.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Right. Yeah, totally agree. I always say that a futurist is a kind of vigía, of guard, that is like,
yes,
all the time looking at all the surrounding.
Exactly.
We send light to the persons that are trying to think or to build the future.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And we have a very vivid imagination and we're seeing things from such a different perspective, almost like a child. Would you agree? Almost like a child who's always like looking and seeking and has this imagination, but then we take it further and we actually study that future and study the areas that people can actually grow, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, whether that be real estate or that be, you know, engineering and, you know, anything, manufacturing, anything that people are doing, even in radio and TV, they don't realize that that is like that extra step and looking further. What does futuring mean to life, to the general public? And then, this is a twofold question, and then what does it mean to you?
The thing about futuring, or the thing about the future, it's a very complex and scary stuff that doesn't even exist. That's why it's so scary, because we are talking about something that we cannot see. We cannot feel it, maybe, or smell it. And also, there is a very important component, which is believing. We futurists believe in the future. So we are processing, working on that through our beliefs. So people are very scared, or most people are very scared about the future because they don't know what is coming. They don't want to lose some things that they have right now. They hardly are prepared for the changes, and also think about unexpected events like, you know, wild cards and events that you are not waiting for. That's very complex. That's very scary. So a future implies change, awareness, implies to move our feelings, our beliefs, our thoughts in a way we don't know what can happen to us. Okay?
Right.
That's important. And for me, is the only opportunity I have to anticipate, to change before it happens, and to dream, trying to make that come to the reality, the situations, the people, even the things, maybe the events that I desire.
Right, exactly. And that, at the end of the day, what it means is having this imagination. But, you know, what I try to explain, and I know that you'll know this even better than I do, but that what happens is that it's one thing for you to sit at, you know, the edge of your bed or read a book and have this imagination. But when we're actually making changes and we're actually looking at the future, you have you're making well-educated changes. So they're not random changes, but they're changes that you're looking deeper. You're looking at trends. What is the trend of this industry? What is the future? What is the trend of another industry that has the potential of impacting my world, my business, my children, education? How can that change my world? And this is going to happen whether we want to or not. These changes are going to happen. But what people don't realize is you have the opportunity to be in the forefront of making them happen, of creating that change.
That's right. That is why it's so delicate. Because it confronts you, it's like a mirror in which, look, you are this now, but you can be this in 10 years, in 20 years. So that what you mentioned right now, it's complex because you need to dig. You are digging.
Yes.
Inside.
Yes.
The person or the organization or the group, but you also are digging all around. What are you going to find, right?
Right.
So that can be very frightful.
right, very frightening. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
So, part of futuring and part of we understand the trends. And so let's say that we've done that. We now we have the trends. So we know the changes that are going to be made and we know, you know, what that desired future is. And so we have this information. The area that I'm most fascinated with you is that El Teatro de Venir, which is that forward theater, that forward-thinking theater that actually builds out scenarios. Talk to me about scenarios. Why are scenarios important? How do they help us to be able to design that future?
Sure. First of all, I want you to take consideration that humans, by nature, have a part of the brain which is dedicated to the future. And different from animals, we can reason and think about the future and plan. So we have the capacity and the ability to plan, to think about the future. But this is not the same as trying to build futures. And one important way and which is very used by futurists in future studies, in foresight, and strategies, is to make scenarios. Why scenarios? Because these are the paths that we can take in order to imagine, in order to, get like an image, a general image of mm-hmm. what may happen. That is why scenarios are important. And okay. It's not only, I think that this could happen and that's it. You need to take account what is on the present. Stakeholders, variables, okay? So
right. That's
why the importance of scenarios.
Okay, so once you have studied just trends, you know what those trends are, you know the direction, the scenario is sort of a simulation.
Yeah.
A simulation of the possibilities. The mm-hmm. simulation of how will this actually play out. We can have an idea, but we're actually putting all the actors in place and everybody is going to, you know, this is the possibility with this. When I've done scenario planning in the past, I've never actually used theater. So that's where I was fascinated when I met you at the Futures Festival, because you made it come, you talk about making it come alive and making it a reality because it's done in theater form and everybody has a place. And I am just so fascinated with that. So tell me, what does that look like? What does it look like when they're doing the scenario planning and you're making a theatrical, you're making it a theatrical process?
That's right. Okay. First of all, we tend to make projects, we tend to make a lot of things and we just write them down. And there they are on the table, on the desk. Okay. But what if you had the opportunity to rehearse, to make a rehearsal about something that may happen in 20, 30 years, and to know how do you can feel, think, and even act towards that situation. Okay? So, you make these scenarios using three kinds of...
There are three stories.
Utopia. Yeah, like in English would be utopia. Then you have utopia with E,
utopia.
And then dystopia.
And dystopia.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have like the best scenario, the worst, and the one that is in the middle, that could be the trendy one.
Okay.
Utopia, the best, dystopia, the worst, and utopia, the trendy scenario, okay?
Okay. All right. So yeah. when you are playing these scenarios out, you are playing out the best case scenario. In a perfect world, there are no problems and everything will go exactly the way you want, you know, you want it to be, which is false, because there's always things that we did plan for that suddenly happen. Then there's the worst case scenario, like, you know, gloom and doom, the world will blow up and it will, you know, things won't happen and there's going to be an earthquake and they'll be starving forever. And then the Ethiopia, which is, that's that middle ground where this is the possibility and this is how this would play out. Here's my question to you, Aletia. When you get to that middle ground, are there problems that you can actually solve during the theatrical? Are there, because nothing is perfect. So with that middle ground, which is, I guess, is not the best case, it's the ideal. Do you work out the problems during this time? The potential problems?
Yeah, sure. Because to reach to that scenario, you need to have a previous process. You need to make a diagnosis first of the situation, whatever the topic you are working on. And then you need to get to some other methods, for example, LP, for example, I don't know, any other, to get to the scenario. Even if you don't know some future studies tool for that scenario,
right,
to make the write the idea down, and when you are writing the scenarios, you are looking at some problems that you have. If this cannot work, this is not gonna happen, I don't agree with this, and that is treated in the sensibilization of the whole method before making this play. You need to warm up, you need to have some theatrical techniques, and in this is implied a practical process for work on all these problems. To enter to the whole methodology, and before doing the scenarios as play,
right,
you make the warm up, literally working with your body, with your voice, with your breathing, tools that you use in theater. So literally, you warm up body and voice.
Okay. So let's go over that again. So the warm up is first, the first thing is?
Warm up your body.
Oh, you need to warm up your body, your voice.
Yeah. And with breathing.
So it's truly a theatrical presentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's breathing, it's warming up in every sense of the word. Okay. And then you said theatrical techniques. So the people that do scenario planning, do they have to be like theater majors? Do they have to know about production and theater and acting?
At all.
That's not at all.
Because this is a pedagogical tool.
Oh, a pedagogical tool. Okay.
Yeah, but this is playful, you know?
Playful. Okay. So it's playful. So the beauty of it being playful is that it's not, they don't feel tension, they don't feel stressed. It's that giving it, how do we say in Spanish, relajado? They're relaxed. They're having fun with it. They're making, okay.
That's the point. That's the whole point of this.
Okay.
So you just, or me, I just guide them in this theatrical technique, and they do this after the warm-up. I always say that the participants just need two basic ingredients, good willing and disposition.
Mm-hmm. They have to be willing and the disposition, okay? Explain the willingness.
So it's kind of being open to the experience. That's the willingness.
So one of the things that you do is psychoperspective.
Yeah.
Explain psychoperspective. How is it useful in futuring and in this system?
Psychoperspective is precisely psychology towards the future. What does this mean? That we are trying to study how does the people think and act towards the future.
How do they feel, how do they think, and how do they act towards the future?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially long-term future, because future studies are centered in long-term, okay?
Right.
So the devenir, or forward theater, a tool of psychoprospective, because when you do make these scenarios out, when you act them out, you have a rehearsal of how can you feel, think, and act toward a future, a possible future.
This is fascinating because it's the beauty of this is that you don't only, you know, research your future and say, okay, so this is the direction that we're going to go, but you actually get a dress rehearsal. You have a dress rehearsal about your future, and you get to look at the future from an acting it all out. Like, this is going to happen, and then this is the other potential, and that's the other potential. And so now we're all coming together, all of the players, and then you can say, this is great. Here's the thing. Now that it's a dress rehearsal, I don't like this. I'm not going to do this. This is not, we don't want this. We're going to add this other area that we weren't even thinking of putting in because we didn't think it was important. Because we get, that's the point. That's awesome. Imagine if we could live our lives that way, right? We get a dress rehearsal, right? I mean, imagine, like, that's the fascinating part. And I think that's what's fascinated me so much about, you know, futures and you know, foresight strategies and being able to put those strategies together, because you get that opportunity to actually design the future, live it out. And then when I met you and I saw that, oh my goodness, you can actually have a dress rehearsal. You can actually act everything out. That's, to me, fascinating, because really we don't get that in real life. One, you know, so to speak, but this is beyond an imagination. This takes it to the next level because it's not just imagining it. It's actually putting all the players, everybody has a role. This is what we're going to do. And we can make those changes because in life, we don't get that opportunity, but in futuring, we do.
That's right.
I love it. Love it. Okay. So I know one of the things that you talk about is that you want to, you consider it important to work with emotions. And I know one of the things that I studied was that emotional intelligence. So talk to me about emotional intelligence and how that plays a role. I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about cultural intelligence, but let's start with emotional intelligence.
I want to take an idea talking about the enterprise organization.
Okay.
Many of the problems, most of the problems within organizations are emotional problems because okay, you may have some trouble with some organization, some logistics, some money, blah, blah, blah. But mainly, some disagreements are because my emotions and yours are not at the
same level.
Yeah, maybe a situation is causing me this anger and you are like this, okay? Relax. So we are facing, right?
Right.
So emotions in this sense are really important. Then, remembering the idea that I was saying to all of you that we need to dig deep inside, okay?
Right.
So we don't really know what the person that we have in front that we are working with has inside. We don't know what she or he has traveled through all his or her life, right?
Right.
So the reactions towards the situation are really particular to everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's important first to know how they can feel with some events and then to make the other people know a little more about you. I'm going to put a very brief example.
Okay.
We, like 1 month and a half ago, we had a very hard earthquake. And most people are, you know, of right. course. Yeah.
Of course. It was fearful. Sure.
Yeah. Some other people were relaxed until they saw that other people.
Okay.
And they don't even know that they could feel worse looking at them than the event that was happened by. So if you can translate that to the future, mm-hmm. you have a previous experience mm-hmm. and you can say, okay, I don't want to feel like this. So what can I do to work on these emotions and habits?
Mm-hmm.
So the main point of emotional intelligence in this future work is precisely to know my negative and positive emotions and integrate those to the most benefit that I can get from that.
To the best you can get.
Yeah.
Okay. So being aware of your emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. being aware of the things that, because oftentimes, is that emotional intelligence or lack thereof, or, you know, again, where you fall in that scope that makes the difference whether or not you're going to take that step, even that step towards planning for the future, even that step towards making the changes, because wherever you are in that level of emotional intelligence, that can actually be a hindrance. Or it could be a help. And so understanding that is very important.
Yeah.
Okay. So now in futures, and because we're such a global world, and the world is getting smaller, we're becoming more and more globalized. I had invited an amazing man a few weeks ago from Ireland. He was actually talking to me from Ireland. I love doing this international, you know, interviews, because you guys are so fascinating. So he was telling me, you know, culturally, how when you go to a different culture, how difficult it is. And I know in future studies, one of the areas that we want to be able to expand to is that globalization. So how does that impact, and how do you bring that into scenario planning?
First, I had the opportunity to work in a Teatro del Devenir workshop with people from different nationalities. That was a real challenge because you could see you know, the alcance,
the reach,
the reach of the methodology.
Of the methodology, okay.
So, in one place, I could appreciate that this methodology is very kind. And with being playful, being relaxed like this,
yes,
this flows. So even the different nationalities, the different ideas, the different perceptions could be integrated really well. So okay. They were able to build some futures despite their different cultures,
okay.
Despite their different ideas.
Okay, so cultural differences really don't have a negative impact on scenarios and on using the theatrical methodology.
Okay, with this process, until now,
yes,
no, there are not big impacts on the cultural stuff in the sense that they have a common objective. So they are integrated. Not everyone with his or her culture, but they integrate. They put that together. And then you were asked about globalization, right?
Right.
Okay, when you are writing the scenario, you take into account some variables.
The variables, right.
Depending on the topic, you can either do personal domain. Do you know Bern Bill Wright?
Bern.
From Texas.
Yes.
Bill Wright.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's an expert on personal futures, and he uses personal domains. So you can write scenarios with this personal domain.
Okay.
And in the other side, if you are working on, for example, technology, that kind of
mm-hmm.
you can use STEEP.
STEEP, yes.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes.
Right?
Right.
So this is which these variables are the ones that integrate these things that you mentioned. The world we live in, the system we have, okay?
Right, the environment, the social, cultural, and yes, which I have spoken about here, and I have videos on STEEP and understanding the external, because again, it's so important. If you're going to position yourself for the future, you need to understand what's going on in your external environment. So it's not just in your company or in your industry. You have to understand, because all of those things have an impact.
Because okay. You never ever make a scenario before having a diagnosis.
Right. Exactly. Right. Okay. Right. It's like curing. You need to know what the disease is before you can cure it. So the scenario is the cure. and the diagnosis is what you need so that you can get the right cure. So this is perfect. Yes, I love it. So my healthcare perspective, right?
Yes. Perfect.
Okay. So you've been doing this, and I want to know, what is the future looking like for scenario planning for what you do?
The topics are chosen by the students. So there you can find the need to work on something. For example, education, climate. These needs are a mix between personal, organizational, and social needs.
Okay.
So with these topics, a time horizon, for example, education on New York in 2050, you are identifying what you really need to work. There are always problems, they are, you know, to work in, right?
Right.
Then we are talking about a teaching methodology, but if you get this through, for example, organization or enterprise,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you can have a rehearsal of mm-hmm. how your organization could be.
Yes.
In, I don't know, 50 years.
Yes, right? 50. Okay, so 50 years, people are like, I'm 45. I'm not going to have another 50 years. So, okay, let's look at 25 years out. What I'm telling people now is, even if you're not going to be around for 50 years, you want to be able to sell your company. And the best way to sell your company is to have a position for the future. So that then you can take that money and retire. So.
Yeah. And mention something important. To work for that future now.
Right.
Right?
Right. Absolutely.
We don't have to lose that we work right now.
Right.
Because everyone could say, maybe I'm going to be dead, maybe I'm not going to work there, blah, blah, blah. But
right.
You make your contribution now.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And the reality is that the future is tomorrow. It's next week. It's next year. It's 25 years from now. It's 50 years from now. The future is not 50 years from now only. The future is tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. That's the future. So you start making those changes and you start positioning those scenarios today for the future.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, I love it.
And the best part is that you have enough time to change what you want to change.
Absolutely. That's what's fascinating. You see, that's where my passion is, that you have that opportunity. And again, when you get that, like in real life, like you don't get that. But with the scenario, you know, with futures and understanding the futures, you actually get that opportunity in real life. And yes. So you start positioning that today for the future. And that's amazing. And that's my biggest fascination. So here's my last question. And I, you know, we futurists could be talking about this right through next week. And we can keep talking without a problem. But because of my audience and taking them into consideration, I have one last question. So which is the main risk that you believe exists in practicing futures?
This is a key point. Okay. First, we need to remember the emotional part.
Yes.
Because as humans, although we have a trait to feed these, we have emotions, we have a body, okay?
Right.
So one of the big risks is to not know what to do, my emotion, or with the emotions of the other towards a future situation. Mm-hmm. You can even not know what to do if you are happy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or what to do if in the next earthquake, I crush myself up, right?
Right.
For example. Then, another important risk. Remembering that the future does not exist. And mold it at your selection.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to know, or you don't always know what the intention, the real intention of that is. And if you get deep, that's why then you get disappointed about organizations, about governments, about people, because they show a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
when
I love
they
that.
Show the real face,
mm-hmm.
it can be disappointing, or it can be, you know, great.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we find something that we don't like.
Right. Okay? Right.
And important risk, because they are a lot, but I think these are the main risks, is that when building futures, it is important to know yourself. And in this process, you are going to be in front of things that you didn't know about you,
mm-hmm.
about the surrounding, about mm-hmm. people, yeah? If you work with, if you're working with someone else, or if you're mm-hmm. with family, for example, mm-hmm. you will get some information that, you know, in the superficially,
mm-hmm. right.
you will not know. So with this information, you will not always know what to do with that information. And you can get anguished, you know? You can get in trouble because you know the other people maybe didn't want you to know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's risky to begin to know this information. It's like looking at the top of the iceberg,
mm-hmm.
but then getting
Getting in deep, it's right.
Like searching the internet, but going to the deep web, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very risky because it's delicate to count with information that you are looking really deep inside.
So let me ask you this. So understanding your own emotional intelligence, I think, is the point where you start. Because the one thing that is 100% certain is that we have no control over someone else's emotions or someone else's actions or reactions. So with that said, we have to be the ones that we have to be responsible for our own emotional intelligence and understanding ourselves and understanding how to deal with different people with different emotions. I know that that's been something that I have had to learn because I work with an array of people and there's so many different, you know, there's so many, even not different characters and different, they have different ways, but the same thing doesn't work up another, like the same thing that upsets this person doesn't necessarily upset that person. And even if it does, they may not be upset the same way. So I have to be in control of myself. So my emotional intelligence has to be, and I tell you, I have really learned that. And I think the more I work that I do, and my the other plus for me is that I come from a social work behavioral health background, behavioral health, mental health. So I understand human behavior, and that has helped me. That's been so helpful to me. Because I've been able to bring that in, and who knew that this would be exactly what I would need for this. So I think we're responsible for our very own emotional intelligence, understanding where we are, and then building ourselves up. Because I have to tell you, I was talking to my sister the other day, and I said to her, I've learned this catchphrase that it really encompasses everything. And it is two very simple words. Oh, okay. End of story. That doesn't mean I understand you. That doesn't mean, but I have to tell you, it really, what I've learned is that it really brings down, de-escalates a situation. Because a person may take it like, oh, they're agreeing with me. And this is their point. And I'm just validating that that's their point. But it has really helped me to be able also to control my emotions, my very own emotions, because I'm not trying to get upset, scream, yell. I'm like, oh, okay. That's it. Those two little words. I have to tell you, they are remarkable.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah. And imagine that you say, my best future is making Nilda Forsyth show is replacing Oprah Winfrey's show. And your sister says, okay, what do you mean? Are you out of your mind or something? And how would you feel? And how would your sister feel, you know?
Right. And so basically at the end of the day, it's all about, it doesn't mean a lot, but I think it really kind of dissipates a lot of, you know, and we can do that with even scenario planning. We can do that when we're looking at futures. Well, these are all the possibilities. Oh, okay. So great. So we have all of this. So now what do we do? Okay. So let's fix this. And rather than say, all of these are possibilities, you're looking at it from that, oh, okay, so these are all the things, so I'm going to pick this, and I'm going to pick this, and I'm going to pick that, and I'm going to try to create something with it.
Yes.
Because it's my power to do it, because I have the information.
Yeah. And you have resources right now, and if you need more, you are going to look for them, but not now.
Exactly. So this has been fascinating. I'm very excited, and I want to continue this conversation. I would love to have you back. And I, you know, I would love to have you back and come and to share more about scenario planning in that theatrical sense, because every time that we've done scenario planning for us, it's been, you know, wild cards and actually doing it like on paper. But I love the vivid, making it come alive. I love that. So I'm very fascinated by your work. I want to go to Mexico. I want to see what you do. I can't wait. This has been, again, very exciting to have you here, and I would love to have you back. Okay?
Well, you and your audience are the stars. And I should give a virtual prize for you because...
Yes.
This is very important for your audience and the world to get to the future stuff.
Amazing. Thank you. I've never gotten an Oscar before, so this is awesome. I love it. So your star. Yeah, nobody else's, but that's okay. I'm your star. I'll take it. So, okay. So again, this has been great. I want to thank everyone, and I want to thank the audience for being here. And, you know, for listening to this, and I, again, keep asking questions, keep looking at life from that future's perspective, because honestly, it will change your life. It'll change your personal life. It'll change the way you view the world, and it'll change your business for sure. So I look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show. You can hear Dr. Nilda every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and anytime on demand on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. For more information on the featured guest, go to www.drnildaperez.com/show.